The Lord did use his message to feed my soul. And I appreciate that, Brother Hamill. That was worth coming for. That's really good. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read the first four verses, please. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I'd like to speak to you tonight on staying the course, or running the race that is set before, staying the course. After we've been saved with that wonderful, everlasting salvation, it was brought to us because of the covenant of redemption, and because of the surety of the sacrifice and the work of the surety of the Lord Jesus Christ, he set a course for us. That also was chosen for us before the foundation of the world. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that every era of my life and every circumstance of my life, that I know that God has already known about it, has made provisions for it.
Amen.
And if I will, I can just relax in what he is doing.
Amen.
Now I need folks to pray for me so that I'll be able to do that, and God's grace be manifested toward me. After we receive that wonderful salvation, there's a race to run. And the writer of the book of Hebrews addresses that here. And he began this particular passage began on back in chapter 10, actually. But he talks about the running the race, and he says in the first part of this verse, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. It always encourages us to know others have been there, doesn't it?
Amen. Amen.
There's nothing like it when that you... They did stay the course.
Yeah.
That they did do it by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen, brother.
That they did do it looking beyond the present to that was set before them. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? The suffering of this life is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
Paul endured the suffering.
Yes.
Looking beyond this life to that was set before him. So in this book of Hebrews, chapter 12, he urges us and says to us to run with patience the race that is set before us. Stay the course. Our race is the fact of living our life that God has laid out for us. We're to stay the course by faith. We're to stay with it. We're to serve God, and we're to do it like he said for us to do. But for us to run any race, to live any life, to be able to stay the course, to be able to finish, we need to make some proper preparations.
Amen.
He uses examples and illustrations that we can understand. He said, now, there's a great cloud of witnesses, and you can see how that they did it. He said, what you need to do is to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. To run that race, in preparation for that race, there needs to be a laying aside of every weight. In the community there in Australia, there was a young lady that we know, and her mother attends church services, and she was training for the Olympics. She discovered that working her job full time was hindering her training. She laid it aside. pretty easy for an Aussie to do, and we love them. But work's not real high on the list of priorities. But to be able to remove the hindrance for preparing for the course that she wanted to run in the Olympics, she laid aside those things that would hinder her training. And there are things in our lives, or the potential for those things in our lives, that will weigh us down. Not necessarily sin. See, he makes a distinction. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us.
Amen.
So I see those weights as being those things in our lives that are not sin in themselves, but they do become so when that they are something we ought not to do, when that they hinder us from doing what we ought to do.
Amen, brother.
I'll let you fill in what those things are. But whatever it is that hinders us from doing whatever that we ought to do, or would hinder us in serving God acceptably and living our life in a manner that would bring honor and glory to Him who entered into a covenant with Himself and walked through the fire by Himself because He needed no one else to agree with Him.
Amen.
As far as glory. We ought to be motivated to live for Him. He died for us.
Amen.
So we need to set aside the weights and the sin that so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. If there's sin tonight, we need to confess it and forsake it and travel a different direction in our life. If there's weights, if there's things in your life that the Spirit of God gives you trouble about, you say, but I know that it's not wrong because I cannot find it in the Bible. It's not wrong, but it's keeping you from doing what you ought to do. That's a weight. You need to lay it aside. And the Lord will help us to understand what we ought to do, either through the principles and precepts of this Word, as they are applied, and the Holy Spirit sometimes gives us a little bit of a push along and says, hey, there's something not right here. Then go to the book and find what the principles of the Word of God are. Apply them to our life, and sometimes we will find that we have weights that we had not thought about. Now, life is full of difficulties. It really is. But it also has blessings. Whatever the difficulty is, the grace of God is sufficient for it. Whatever the race brings you to, the living of this life brings me to and brings you to, we must remember, if we would be encouraged, that it is the race that God hath set before us. See, He's not promised us smooth sailing, but He has promised a safe landing. The journey of life sometimes gets as rough as the seas. Sometimes the winds rage and the storms rage and the ship seems to go like that, the ship of life. But we must remember that all things are under the hand of the Creator. And He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And we're encouraged by that. The greatest encouragement that we can have, I believe, is to know that God is in control of the events and the affairs of this world. I know that there are things that people do to us and around us and with us that's not pleasing to the revealed will of God, but we must remember that the wrath of man shall praise Him and the remainder He'll restrain. So He's in charge. You say, well, I know God wouldn't do me bad, but a lot of His people have. See, I've heard people say that. Well, they can't do anything without God's permission. And sometimes we have difficulties, I do believe this, to drive us to prayer and beseech God, and often He reveals a problem with us. We learn that we have met the enemy and he is us. Often that's been my enemy when I've had difficulties. We usually think it's them. Most of the time it's us. And although I know that sometimes there are just circumstances beyond our comprehension in our interpersonal relationships, and that we maybe haven't acted wrongly, but whatever the situation is, our God will be with us and he'll help us.
Amen.
And since that the race requires stamina,
amen, brother,
since it requires focus, since the race that is set before us in living that life, it will drain energy. We need to get all the weights out of the way, the things that will be sources of draining our energy. I mean, sometimes as a pastor, and I know it is in your life too, but sometimes as a pastor, my energy level just gets down to absolute zero because that I just get so tired. I think I cannot deal with one more issue. That's common with pastors. But you also, whether or not you're a preacher, you face those difficulties that drain your energy, and you need to be focused, and we need to be focused on running the race and doing it properly.
Amen.
You know, one of the weights that so easily besets me? Not resting properly. And that rate that easily besets me, because sleep seems like a waste of time. But God's ordained the night and the day. We've improved on what he's done. Got electric lights and electricity so we can run all night. You know I didn't mean that. We've improved on what he's done. But when I do that, when I get overtired, it drains energy so that sometimes I cannot capably cope with the issues that God has set in my path that he's ordained that I should walk in. I have a lot of weights I'm not going to tell you about. Just so you get the idea. Lay aside those things. And obviously the sin, confess sin and forsake it.
Amen, brother.
And when you get all of that done, then you're ready to begin the work and run the race and live the life that God saves us to live and the race to run and the walk he gave us to walk. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. We'll look at two or three of them. Hebrews 11, let's look at verses 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had recompense, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, esteeming him who is invisible. How was Moses enabled to peacefully and confidently make the decision, if you will, to forsake all of the wonders and the material things by being a prince in Egypt to suffer affliction with the people of God? How did he do that? I mean, he just did it, but how did he do it? He did it by faith. What was it that he saw by faith? He had respect for the recompense of reward. He looked beyond what was going to happen in his journeys with the children of Israel. He was looking at, by faith, being obedient unto him who had preserved him and called him by his very own grace. So by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He's invisible, but he's seeing by faith. He saw him.
Amen,
he worshiped him. He was encouraged by him. It is by faith. See, Moses knew that there was going to be a reproach. He knew there would be a cost personally. As far as what the world deems cost. But he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. Our Savior and our friend and our Redeemer who counted it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself a servant, became a servant, made the likeness of sinful man, left the glories and all that was attendant thereto, took on himself the form of man, became man, lived in a sinful world, where that he was reproached, and where that he was spat upon, and where that he was finally crucified. But that's what he came for. And what we were saved for is the very same thing that Moses was saved for. Let's do what God saved us to do. We're to esteem any reproach, any difficulty, any price, any burden, we're to esteem that in the service of Christ greater riches than all of the treasures of this world. Because after a while, this is all going to be over. Just as a vapor. We need to learn to look at things in the light of eternity. You see a steam kettle boiling and the vapor comes out. It's gone and you look and it's there and you look and it's gone. The Bible says our life is just as a vapor. When you measure it in the light of eternity, our life is just as a vapor. That's why that any decision to follow Him wholly is the right decision and has a great recompense of reward, and we ought to have respect for that. But Jesus did that. He bore our sins in His own body on the cross because it was His desire to do the Father's will, which had sent Him. You know that you and I ought to lay aside the weights and the sins in preparation for fulfilling the will of Him who sent us. He saved us for His glory. He created us for His glory. We are and were created for His glory. And when that becomes the objective of our life, there is no price too high. There is no burden too great. There is no affliction. There is no difficulty that should be able to get us off the track of the race that He has set before us. If we weren't created, we are and we're created for His glory. If it had not been for Him, this life would still be as a vapor, but we would not have the promise of life everlasting in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should say with Paul, I'm a debtor, both to the Jews and to the Greek, to the barbarians. We're debtors. Lay aside. Run the race with patience. How did He do that? How did He do that? How did Jesus do it? Well, we find that Jesus did it. Don't ever forget that Jesus Christ was fully man. He was fully God, but He was fully man. And I can't explain that, but I believe it. He was the God-man. He felt pain. He suffered thirst. He hurt at rejection. He wept over the death of a friend.
Amen.
And then he didn't have to do it, except he had agreed with himself to do it. Isn't that wonderful? But we need to understand that if we're going to get close to God, we must come by the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus has felt with the feelings of our infirmities. The man Christ Jesus understands the trials. The man Christ Jesus knows the pain. But the man Christ Jesus endured it. Endured it. Because he looked beyond the pain of the present. He did it for the joy that was set before him. To redeem his people from their sins. He would please his Father. How can we do it? Just like he did. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. You and I can do it the same way. Get our eyes off the present. I need to be encouraged to do this. I'm all right now. You encourage me to do it tomorrow. But we need to be reminded. Get our eyes off the present. Get our eyes on what it's all about. What's important. Then we can do it. He endured. He suffered. He stayed the course. He stayed with it. We can stay with it when we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our course, and we have recompense and respect for the recompense of reward. No, this is the worst we'll ever have. Tell you the truth, we have it pretty good. Spiritual warfare is difficult. Doesn't matter what kind of economic or social situation you live in, the trials and tribulations, the burdens are there. We can deal with it. We can not be crushed under it. We look unto Jesus, see how that he did it. We say, okay, Lord, I can handle this because I know that someday it's going to be over. I'm going to see you as you are, because I'll be like you. And I'm going to stay the course. We need to keep our eyes on him. Never forget that we wouldn't even have the privilege of being in the battle had it not have been for the work of our surety, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the downside of not having this battle is see our eternity as separated hope from him. All together, separated from him. I encourage you, stay the course. Stay in the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Live the Word of God. May we as preachers continue to preach the unadulterated Word of God. May God bless you. Brother, how's you come? Thank you.
Amen, brother.